We have been doing these tweets of the week. Each week we have a few tweets that we like to show you. 2020 sounded like the most futuristic year, and now we're all like, I traded my neighbor a handkerchief for some carrots. If you weren't sure of how bad things have gotten, Amazon is out of podcast mics. So this is all about pandemic. Therapist over the phone. How have you been passing the time? Me, mixing four types of cereal together to create a stronger, more delicious super cereal. I'm learning to cook. We are in uncertain times, and those are just fun tweets that people are coming up with. We're going to look at a tweet today from the Old Testament. You have your Bibles, you can turn to 2 Kings chapter 6 and 7 is where we're going to be jumping around. And if you don't have your Bibles, it'll be on the screen to my left or to my right, and you can follow along in that. The tweet that we're going to be looking at is really interesting because it's about four guys. And these four guys, we know very, very little about them. We know very little about them. The Bible doesn't even tell us their names. And yet they have an impact on thousands of people's lives. They don't even get named, but thousands of people's lives. Their impact is massive, but it's behind the scenes. The time that this takes place is about 800 or 900 years before Jesus enters the scene. At the time, there is a prophet by the name of Elisha that God was using to communicate to his people. Another prophet by the name of Elijah was connected to him, kind of a mentor of his. And God did some incredible things through these two men. And during the time of Elisha, God would have these promises, and Elisha would spew out these promises, and God would answer these promises. And so God used, in this story, these four tweetable characters to make his promise come true. Here's what we know about these four. They're not named, and they have a terrible disease. They have leprosy. Leprosy is a contagious disease. It comes from a bacteria. It's treatable today, but it causes some issues. It causes issues because it can be transmitted to another person. And so these people, these four guys, they're outcasts. They probably are known outcasts. There's probably lesions on their hands and on their face. And oftentimes with this disease, the nose and the ears get disfigured. And so this is what we know. They have leprosy. They're probably not living with the larger community. They're in a leper's colony. That's all we know about them. They weren't allowed to live in the suburbs with everyone else. They probably weren't allowed to be around other people. They would actually have to go, and if they were walking down the street, they would have to cry out, unclean. Unclean, can you imagine kind of just the social aspect of that for you to know that people are looking at you, to know that you're different in this sense, to know that people are kind of scared of you? This is what we know. And so we pick up this story in 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 24. Sometime later, Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, mobilized his entire army and marched up and laid siege to Samaria. So for those of you who don't know the art of war back in the Old Testament, let me kind of fill you in. There's a city, Samaria, and they have fortified walls. And usually the city would have these fortified walls, and they're very difficult to breach, hard to climb up. They didn't have, you know, missiles or planes to go over. So what would happen is they would say, we're going to lay siege on this city. And so they would come. They would bring their military, and they would surround the whole city, like a whole big circle. This wasn't like, hey, we're going out, and we got our MREs, and we're just camping. These people were glamping at this point. They put their tents up. They brought their stuff there. They had food there. They had delicious food. They had wine there. They were staying there for the long haul because you didn't know how long it was going to take. And here's the rules. If someone comes out, you kill them. If someone tries to come in, you kill them. If Pretty simple rules, right? Pretty simple. But you would stay around the city. You're glamping around the city. You're hanging out and you're waiting because you couldn't go over these walls. That would be a bad tactic. And you would just wait them out. And what would happen in the city is they would begin to run out of resources. They would begin to run out of food. They would begin to run out of the things that they would need to survive. So that is what we are picking up right now. Verse 25, there was a great famine in the city. The siege lasted so long that a donkey's head sold for 80 shekels of silver. Let's think about that for a second. I'm sure regular donkey doesn't make great burger. But this isn't regular donkey. This is a head. And this is 2 pounds of silver. 2 pounds of silver for a head. This is like eyeballs and brains and things. This is disgusting, right? This is where these people are at. There is no food. The siege is working. It goes on. And a quarter of a cab of seed pods for 5 shekels. And you go, what in the world is that? A quarter of a cab of seed pods. Interesting. What could that be? Well, let me tell you what it was. Food's running out. They're stopping every trade, every commerce from coming in and out. But birds can still fly. Birds fly over. They go out. They eat seeds and little nutritious things. They come back and they poo. And so they're eating pigeon poo. And it's selling. This is selling this stuff. The siege was working. If you continue on, and we won't continue on in this passage, you will see that they have resorted to cannibalism. It's bad. This famine is bad. Jump to chapter 7 with me, and we're going to meet our heroes and hear just a little bit about them. Now there were 4 men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate. They said to each other, "Why stay here until we die? If we say, 'We'll go into the city,' the famine is there, and we're going to die. And if we stay here, we will die. So let's go over to the camp of the Arameans and surrender. If they spare us, we live. If they kill us, we die," right? Like that's what killing means, right? So they die. So they kind of go, hey, there's not really great options here. We can stay here and we die. We can go into the city, but they're eating things that I don't want to eat. So we're not going in there and we're going to die. We might go over to the Arameans and just surrender. And maybe, just maybe, they'll show us mercy. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. This is important for where we're going today. So based on the rules of engagement, what do these men deserve? So if they go out and they surrender, what do they deserve? Death, right? You kill them. You take them out. But they're hoping for mercy. They're hoping for something that they don't deserve. At dusk, they got up and they went to the camp of the Arameans. When they reached the edge of the camp, no one was there. The siege is going on. People are eating each other. They're buying bird droppings and donkey heads. And these lepers go out hoping to find mercy, and there's no one there. Well, what happened? For the Lord had caused the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army. So that they said to one another, "Look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittite and the Egyptian kings to attack us." So they got up, they fled in the dust and abandoned their tents and their horses and their donkeys. They left camp as it was and they ran for their lives. This is crazy. These people are so scared what they hear. They're just running. You know, they're just taking off. It says that they were like shedding stuff in a different part of Scripture. They're like throwing things off because they're so scared of what's coming. What they heard was so scary to them. It was nothing. It was God giving them this sound that they were hearing. So we find the lepers. They were out there hoping to surrender, to find mercy, but what they found was great, far greater than mercy. Far greater than mercy. What they found was grace. Here's what grace is. If mercy is not getting what you deserve, grace is getting what you don't deserve. It's a gift. It's not something that you deserved. It's freely given to you. Grace is always a gift. If you have to work for it, it's not. And so what we see in this is God, in his graciousness, allowed the Arameans to hear something. They take off running. God did all the work. The lepers did nothing. They just walked out there, scared, probably. But God had already scared the entire army off. He had broken up this siege. And these people had left everything. All of their valuables, all of their glamp sites were just there. They have this incredible treasure. And what do the lepers start to do? They start to go into the tents. And they eat. And they drink. And they're like, this is good, right? This is awesome. Like, this grace thing is incredible. They have an incredible treasure, right? It's an incredible treasure. Like, no one else knows this. These people are over here. They're eating donkey heads. They're eating pigeon poo. And they're eating fine dining. They're finding gold. They're finding silver. In verse 8, it says, the men who had leprosy, they reached the edge of the camp. They entered one of the tents and they ate and drank. They took the silver and gold and clothes and went off and they hid them. I have my treasure. And they hide them because there's scarcity. They return and enter another tent and took some things from it and hid them. It's like Christmas every time you go into a tent. It's awesome, right? They're taking things from everywhere. And it's like one tent, they go in and like, oh, my precious. And they go and they hide it over here and they take another one. Oh, my precious. Everything is precious. It's awesome. It's this crazy treasure they have. Meanwhile, back in the city, people are eating dove droppings, killing, and eating one another. Things are really, really bad. But these four lepers are just in this moment enjoying the grace that God has shown them. And they began to hoard. They began to hoard all of this grace for themselves. Then there's this moment in verse 9. It's an aha moment for them. In verse 9 it says, then they said to each other, what are we doing? What we are doing it's not right. As outsiders looking in, we're all going, of course. There are people in the city dying. It actually says that their children are dying. This is where they're at. And they start to realize, hey, this is not right. If we're honest, if you find a great gift, a great treasure, oftentimes we want to keep it to ourselves. But this is a day for them. This is a day that they realize that this is good news. This is good news not for just the four lepers. This is good news for everyone. This is a day of salvation. This is a day of grace. This is a day of a gift that they had nothing to do with. It was all God. God has given them this incredible, incredible gifts. And then they say, hey, we've been keeping it to ourselves. If we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. In other words, guilt will overtake us and shame. There's thousands of lives at stake. So they say, let's go at once and report to the royal palace. So they go back to town and they report God has caused all the Arameans to leave. You can put down your dove droppings and your donkey eyeballs, and you can come out with us, and we're going to eat. It's going to be awesome. There's food, there's clothing. And some of the people go, uh-uh. This is a trap. I can't believe this. This is a trap. But they send some people out to explore, and when people come back, they go, yeah, it's true. They come back and they say, it's true. God's provided. His grace is upon us. This is good news. And the people flood out of the city. They experience this incredible, active movement of God's grace. Can you imagine the four lepers? In that moment, as they shared this, I think they had great joy in sharing this. This is great news for all the people. I think they're high-fiving, right? I don't know. Can you high-five as a leper? I might lose a finger. I don't know. Actually, you know what? I did read about this. It's not that leprosy causes... This is just an interesting fact. It's not that leprosy causes you to lose your fingers. It goes numb, and you start to burn your hand. You like pick up a pot, and it doesn't hurt. And you're like, oh, wait, that's burnt. And then it gets infected. And that's what actually causes you to lose appendages. I always thought it was leprosy caused it, but it's actually, that's just not true. But I see them, this is how I see it. They're high-fiving, knuckling each other. This is awesome. God's provided. And we've given this away. We've given this treasure that we received. We received this grace. We were looking for mercy. We got grace. And now I'm giving it away. We've been talking about these tweets, and I think the lepers will give us some tweets. Tweet number one would be this. Good news is meant to be shared. Good news is meant to be shared. Sharing rocks, right? We live in a world where bad news sells, right? It sells newspaper, we click on it, and Facebook, all of these things. And all you see is bad news. But if you've said yes to Jesus, you have the greatest news in the world. And you have it in your pocket. Maybe you should share it, right? Maybe you should share it. Think about this for a second. God has done all the work. We've done nothing. Jesus goes to the cross. God sends his son to the cross to die for your sins and my sins. We had nothing to do. Jesus lived absolutely perfect. He didn't deserve the cross. He goes to the cross. He dies for our sins. And he rises. All God, not anything that we ever did. It's grace. He demonstrates his love for us while we were yet sinners. Christ dies for us. Every day, people walk by, and the reality is that they're separated from God. If you have not said yes to Jesus, I will tell you this, you are separated from God. That's what the Bible says. That's what we believe here. If you've said yes to Jesus, what happened? The gap between you and God went like this. Boom. Son, daughter of the Most High. But prior to that, there's a gap, and you cannot do anything to earn it. You cannot do anything to earn it. Jesus is on the cross and he goes, it is finished. What is he talking about? It's finished that he has given his life for you and for me that we may have this gap brought together, that we can reconnect with God, that we can have a relationship with God. This is good news. This is good news. I can't think of better news. What the Bible says is this. Prior to saying yes to Jesus, you were dead in your trespasses. You were dead in your sins. You were dead. Think about that. You're dead. And God comes in. He gives Jesus to us. We accept Jesus through his grace, nothing that we did, all about him. Through faith, we believe in the one he has sent. And the Bible says you become a new creation. You become alive. This is incredible. This is an incredible treasure. Something that we should want to share. Maybe it's your dad, maybe it's your mom, maybe it's your friend. Hey, Jimmy, you're dead. Guess what? You can be alive in Christ. I don't know if I'd say it exactly like that. But it's true. It's true. Remember, these people are living under siege. They're living in a city, and it was fortified, and they were starving. They were eating donkey heads, pigeon poo, and people. And God's mercy showed up. His grace showed up, and he defeated the Arameans. They didn't do anything. They did nothing. You and I were once enemies of God. Because of Jesus, we can become friends of God. We can become sons and daughters of him. This is the greatest story ever. Good news is meant to be shared. My wife in college, she discovered a restaurant called Fuddruckers. Anybody been to Fuddruckers before? Wonderful. I don't know if it's in existence. Does anybody know it's in existence anymore? Well, she discovered Fuddruckers, and she was a vegetarian back then. And she discovered something very, very fascinating. If you went to Fuddruckers, you could go, I don't want a hamburger, because it's kind of a hamburger shop. And you get fries and all these other things there. But then it has this smorgasbord, I think we have a picture of it here, of vegetables and delicious things that you can put on your hamburger. And so, you know, you have peppers and onions and cheese and lettuce, and you can put as much as you want on your burger. Well, my wife discovered a little treasure. If you just say, I'd like a bun, it's 75 cents. This is a wonderful treasure. And so what she did is she began to share this treasure with her dorm mates. And so they were started going there all the time and ordering these little treasures that they could load up and have this delicious concoction of vegetables on a delicious buttered bun and eat for 75 cents. And then one day she went, and she said, I will have a buttered bun. And they said, that'll be $3.65. They changed the price. They figured it out. Here's the deal. God never changes his price of his grace. It's always Jesus. It never changes. It was Jesus and him alone. None of us could have went to the cross. It's only him. And God paid that price for us. And it never changes. Never changes. It's a wonderful thing. You say yes to Jesus and God gives you this grace. And it's I believe, our job to say, hey, this is good news. This is not right that we're not sharing this treasure, right? Just like they did, just like the lepers. The second thing the lepers, I think, would say to us, their second tweet is this. It is worth the risk when lives hang in the balance. Hashtag called, hashtag risky life, not safe. Remember how the lepers started. They were looking for mercy. They received grace. They ate the food. They hid the food. And then they went, wait a second, the treasure is meant to be shared because there's people back there. There's people back there that are dying. We need to help. We need to share the good news. My friends, every day, let's focus in for just a second. Every day, people pass you by. Every day, people pass you by. You can see it in their eyes. They're empty. They're empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. That's a song. People need the Lord. But it's true. Our hearts should break as we go, man, you don't know the treasure of Jesus. I know it feels uncomfortable sometimes to talk about religion. Some of your mamas and your daddies told you, you never talk about money, politics, or religion. Well, this isn't religion. Christianity isn't religion. Christianity is life. It is not like how I earn my way to God. That's religion. We do not earn our way to God. It is all God, all grace, all from him. This is just going, man, I'm accepting the gift. I know it feels uncomfortable. But do you really believe? If these people don't know Jesus, what's going to happen? The Bible tells us. they don't know. If they don't know who to believe in and who to trust for their salvation, they will die. And it's eternity. It's a very, very long time. There are lives in the balance here. You get to enjoy this incredible gift, but if you're hiding it, if you're not sharing it because you're scared to share it, what happened with the lepers? They went back and people went, nope, trap. That's going to happen sometime. Nope, trap. I'm not getting into that religious institution cult thing. They're going to do the same thing, but that's their choice. Share the good news. It's an incredible, incredible, incredible treasure. And it's worth the risk. These are people that you walk by every day. I'm going to show you a picture. Do you remember this? You guys remember this? It is the soccer team that was caught in the cave. You guys recall this? They're caught like 2 miles back in. I think we have a picture. Next picture here. You can see they went into the entrance. Their bikes are found and they keep going kind of through. This was after their soccer practice. They went in, were exploring. There's this narrow passage. And the boys are found all the way back here. It's during monsoon season. And so they're trying to figure out, how are we going to get these kids out? Because it's now filled with water. Maybe they can swim out. Maybe we can drill down. Maybe we can drain the cave. These are the possibilities, and they're all working together, trying to figure out, how do we rescue these kids? The rescue effort, it involved over 10,000 people, 100 divers, scores of rescue workers, 100 governmental agencies, 900 police officers, 2,000 soldiers. It required 10 police helicopters, 7 ambulances, more than 700 diving cylinders, and they pumped out more than 1 billion liters of water from the caves. Here's the deal. You remember this? No one was going, we should give up. We should give up. Let's just leave them in there. It is what it is. They went down there. They're not getting out. This is costing. No one's going, this is costing too much money. Or we're wasting supplies. No, they went, we're going to rescue these kids. We're going to rescue them. We're going to figure this out. We can do this. Next slide. There they are. They made it. There are some people that did lose their lives. A couple of the divers. But they risk it for these kids. And there they are in their press conference. My friends, this is a picture of the church. We do anything it takes. We give up anything it takes so that we can share the treasure of Jesus, because these people are back in a cave. They do not know. They're living in darkness. They do not know who Jesus is, the greatest treasure of this world. We want people to meet, to know, and to follow Jesus. Jesus is always worth the risk. Invite someone to church. Share the gospel with somebody. I know it's risky. But what if our relationship breaks down? It's worth the risk. Tweet number 3 would be this. There's plenty of grace to go around. Hashtag abundance. We will never run out of God's grace. Never run out of God's grace. The Bible says God's grace is new every day. His mercies are new every day. There's plenty of grace. Paul was writing to Titus, and he told him this. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. The grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. What does that mean? The grace of God isn't, the treasure is not just for you and me. The treasure is for your neighbor who thinks they have it all together. And they kind of some ways do. They got the new car, they got the good job, they got, you know, the 2.5 kids, and they got it all, right? They go on great vacations, they got, you know what? They still need Jesus. They don't have the treasure of Jesus. They need it. It's also for the guy who's next door who every day comes home with a cube of Bush lattes and drinks all of them. Still needs Jesus. Still needs Jesus. And it's our job to go, here's the treasure. Here's the treasure. It's not right for the church to hold this thing. It's not right for the church to go, I got this, and I'm not letting anyone else in on it. It's wrong. God wants his creation. He wants everyone to come and to repent and to come to know him, to accept this free gift, this treasure. There's abundant grace for everyone that places their trust in Jesus. But how will they know of the one he sent unless we tell them? Unless we tell them of the treasure. Think about the lepers. They're eating, they're eating, drinking. Christmas, every time they go into a new tent, and they go, oh, wait, this is not right. We should probably go and tell these people. The same is true for us. We should tell people. Let's pray. Father, we come. We are so thankful for your grace. We recognize that we are sinners in need of a Savior, and the greatest news ever was born a couple thousand years ago. We're thankful for that. We're thankful that you chose, Jesus, to leave heaven to come to earth, to take on flesh, that you may be our Savior. God, we place all of our trust in what you did for us by sending your Son to die on the cross. That his blood was sufficient for us. That it's not our righteousness. We can't earn our way to you, God. We recognize that. It's only through his righteousness that we are called sons and daughters of you. And we're thankful for that. God, this incredible, incredible, incredible treasure is very, very precious. But let us share it. You ask us to be light in the darkness. God, I pray right now for all of us who are sitting here. If we've said yes to Jesus, that we would share even this week. Maybe it's just a, can I pray with you? Maybe it's, can you want to come to church? Maybe it's, hey, this is what God has done in my life, and I want you to know who Jesus is. God, that we would risk giving this away because we recognize what the scriptures tell us. And what it tells us is that those who do not know you are going to hell. And that's the reality. God, let us be givers of the grace that you've given us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.